Welcome to the broadcast of Crosstown Church of Memphis. We are a church that is Christ-centered, diversity-driven, and community-committed. A church that's bringing people together, sharing God's message of hope, love, and service. We seek to love God, love people, and serve the city. We welcome you to our broadcast with Pastor Byron Fitzpatrick.
We are continuing the series that we started a few weeks ago that is titled, What's Your ID? And in this particular series, our main objective is to understand that our identity lies within our relationship with Jesus Christ, and also to help us to understand or to learn some spiritual disciplines that will help us to grow in that relationship with Christ. We want to really know who we are. And throughout this entire series, we've constantly been drilling into ourselves that, first of all, we are God's children. And then also we've been trying to help us to understand or help us to even relate even more to being God's child, being his son or being his daughter. So often we struggle. We understand that God is our God. We understand that he's the supreme being. He is the leader. He is the Alpha, the Omega. You know, he is Lord. He's all of those things. But the one area or the one thing that we really have a hard time doing is identifying him as our father. And if we can identify him as our father, we can truly understand and identify ourselves as being his children, being a true child of God. The scripture says in John chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, but to all who have received him, who is Jesus Christ, to those who believe in his name, again, which is the name of Jesus Christ, he has given them the right to do what? The right to become God's children. It is so important. I'm constantly driving into you and want to impress this thing on you that you are God's child. Yes, you know that. Yes, you've heard that. But deep down inside, can you actually mentally, spiritually, physically relate to actually being his child, being a child of God, and also him being your father? Okay. When a person talks too much or what's so funny?
No, I'm just thinking. Go on.
Oh, okay. When a person talks too much or when we talk too much, you know, it can create some problems. You know, talking too much can definitely create some problems. And so I'm going to talk about a few problems that, you know, talking too much can actually create. You know, it causes you not to pay attention to what other people are saying. Y'all can relate. Y'all know that there's somebody, you know, that you know that just talk too much. And when they talking so much, you just feel like, man, they ain't paying attention to nothing that I'm saying. And, you know, you're trying to squeeze a word in or you're trying to say something too. You're trying to contribute to, you know, what's supposed to be a conversation and you can't get in. You know, I know some of y'all used to play, used to do double dutch, you know, jump roping, right? You know how you do double dutch jump roping and you just stand there like this right here, rocking back and forth, watching that rope swing around and you're just looking for that time where you can just jump in. That's how you feel in a conversation with somebody who talks too much. You feel like you just right, just rocking back and forth and you're just looking for that opening where you can get into the conversation also. And that person, as soon as you think you got an opening, it's like they start back up again with something else. Like, golly, man, just be a quiet. But talking too much, it causes people to feel like that you're not paying attention to them. It makes them feel like, you know, it makes them also feel like you don't value what they have to say. A lot of people that talk too much, they feel like what they have to say is important. And so they feel like they got to get it out. Because if they don't, you know, what's so important about what they have to say, they're not going to be able to say it. And so they don't think about what you have to say. And so therefore, it makes you feel like they don't value what you have to say. Your voice, you know, if you're someone who talks too much, you have to realize your voice is not the only voice. You know, there are other voices and nor is what you have to say the only thing that's important and the only thing that needs to be said. You have to realize, you know, if you're someone who talks too much, you have to realize that there are other voices. You have to realize that there are other important things, you know, to be said, you know, and other things or the important things that needs to be said besides what you have to say, you know, and often And then, of course, you know, we have those people. We have those people who talk really loud or they yell all the time. You know, you got people that talk too much. You got people that talk loud or talk yell all the time. You know, I even said to my wife, you know, most of y'all probably think that my wife is a really soft-spoken person, you know, and what have you. And you know, and she is. And but there are times where, you know, she gets loud, and some of you have witnessed that. She gets excited, and when she gets excited, she talks really loud, you know. But y'all don't experience it like I experience it. We be sitting at the house and just chilling, you know. I'd be in my chill mode, you know. I just be like, you know, some of y'all remember Bruh Man on Martin Lawrence show? Bruh Man was always in chill mode, chilling. You know, I just be in my chill mode, and Marguerite come in and she be, I'm like, why are you yelling? Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize I was yelling. You know, y'all know some people, and maybe you want them right now that's on here. Just talk loud and be yelling all the time. And you know, sometimes, you know, it happens so often to the point where it's like, that's just your natural way of talking. You know, you just, you know, naturally talk loud, you know, you know. And so, you know, when you yell all the time, guess what happens? Your voice becomes annoying. When you yell all the time, your voice becomes annoying. So it's like those times when Marguerite come in and she just talk. I mean, she talk really, really loud. It's like, man, I don't want to hear it. It's like,
sometimes
bring it down a little bit. Okay. You know, it's like banging in my ears, you know? And so your voice becomes annoying when you're really loud. You know, yelling sends a signal. It sends a couple signals, but it sends a signal. Here's one of the signals that yelling does, or let me say talking loud. Because when you say to someone, man, you're yelling, they take offense to that. But if you say to someone, you're talking loud, they're not so quick to take offense to it. It's the same thing, okay?
It can be, not always.
Same thing. Anyway, let's say talking loud, okay? When you're talking loud, it sends a signal. Here's one of the signals that it sends. When people, when you talk loud, when people get a sense that you are angry, when you talk loud, people, they get a sense that you are angry. And they also, you know, they'll receive whatever it is that you're trying to say to them. They're going to receive that with a little bit of hostility in your voice. And when they receive it that way, you know, it may not even be your intentions. You know, you just may be talking loud. You know, what you might say, I ain't yelling, I'm just talking loud. Well, a lot of times when you talk loud or when you yell, a lot of people will receive whatever it is that you're trying to say. It might be good. It might be all that helpful or whatever, no matter how good or how helpful it is. When it's too loud or when it's feel like it's you're yelling at people, they'll receive that with a little bit of hostility. You know, you're trying to give it to them in a good way, but you're loud and you're yelling. And so they will receive that with a little bit of hostility. So we want to be, even though that's not your intention, the book of Proverbs chapter 15 and 1, it says this. It says, a gentle word turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs it up. And so we have to be aware. And we all know this, you know, so maybe this is just a reminder to most of us, is that we have to understand that a gentle word, this is scripture, a gentle word, it turns away anger. But a harsh word, even if it's not your intentions, even, you know, when you just talk too much, you know, even when you just talk loud or you just naturally be yelling when you're talking, it stirs up because people receive it with a little bit of hostility. And so it will stir up anger as opposed to turning anger away. Don't think for one moment that you're going to get the type of response that you desire. When you talk too much, when you yell, when you talk loud all the time, do not think for one moment that you're going to get the response that you desire. Sometimes you don't get the desired response, not because what you're saying is bad, it's because of your delivery. Mm-hmm. Yelling also sends a signal of dominance. When you're talking loud or when you're talking too much or when you're yelling, it also sends a signal of dominance. When you yell, it tells people that you are asserting a position. And that certain position that you are asserting is a position of dominance over them or what they have to say. Yelling, it presents a power struggle. If you never studied power struggle, you need to go study power struggle. It's a very real thing in everyday life. In almost everything that we experience from the time we wake up in the morning to the time that we go to sleep at night, especially those things, those interactions with people, no matter who it is, there's always this opportunity or always this power struggle that's creeping into the interaction between people. It's a very great study. You guys need to go check it out sometime. Power struggle, YouTube it or whatever. It's really good. But whenever you're yelling, whenever you're talking loud, whenever you're talking too much, it presents a power struggle. Anytime there's a power struggle, there's an attempt to win. There's always somebody that's trying to win. So if you're talking loud, that means, you know, people get the sense of what it does. It presents this power struggle and you're trying to win in the conversation. Every conversation does not have to be a competition. Every conversation shouldn't be a competition. Maybe it's just getting to know one another. And we're going to talk about that here in a second, okay? As you get louder in that power struggle, as you get louder, the other person, they responds by getting louder also. Or if they don't respond by getting louder, what some people will do, instead of engaging in that power struggle with you, what they'll do is they'll just tune you out or they'll just walk away. And sometimes you get upset when people, you're talking to people and you're trying to say something to them, you're trying to communicate something to them, or maybe you're trying to get your point across without arguing, but you're talking loud, you're yelling, or you're talking too much, you're not valuing what they have to say, you're not listening to what they're saying, then what'll happen is you'll get a response where they don't want to engage in this power struggle. So what they'll do is they'll just tune you out or they'll just simply walk away. And if that happens, did you really win? Did you really accomplish what you were hoping to accomplish? Did you get the expected outcome that you were hoping for? When you yell, you don't hear what others are saying because your voice is drowning what they're saying out. And then depending on how they respond, whether they respond by going down or whether they respond by going up, it's all just gets lost in the mix. Now, I want you all for just a moment to do something with me. We're going to go on a little short journey, okay? This journey, I want you to do this. Just for a moment, I want you to ask yourself if that's your normal way of talking. And be honest with yourself. Your normal way of talking, I'm not talking about necessarily being combative. You know, if you want to add that in there, that's up to you. You know, I'm talking about talking too much. I'm talking about talking loudly. I'm talking about yelling. You know, your intentions are not bad, but that's just a normal way that you communicate. I want you to be real truthful and honest with yourself. Is that your normal way of talking? Is that your normal way, the normal way that you communicate with people? You know, if your answer is yes, if it's yes, it makes me wonder this. Is that the way that you talk to God and you talk to the Holy Spirit? If that's your normal way, if it's natural for you or if it's common for you to talk too much, if it's common for you to talk loud or to even be yelling when you're talking, is that the way that you talk to God? And I'm sure that you would probably say, no, I don't talk to God like that. No, I don't do that. Uh-uh. I'm definitely much more respectful. Well, if you say that, if that's your response, then you're actually acknowledging that the way you talk to everybody else on a normal way is not respectful. Do you get that? If you say, no, I don't yell at God, or no, I don't talk to God too much, or no, I don't talk loudly to God, I don't do that, then you're saying that, no, that's something bad, so therefore I won't do that to God, but yet you do that to everybody else. Think about it, okay? But here, if you do that, it does make me wonder, is that the same way that you talk to God? Is that the same way that you talk to the Holy Spirit? So here, That was just the introduction. Now we're actually about to get into the lesson for the day, all right? The subtitle, I hope y'all taking notes. I hope y'all writing this stuff down, okay? The subtitle of today's lesson, Marguerite says she's writing taking her notes. Here's the subtitle for today's lesson. Again, the title of the series is called What's Your ID? And we're trying to understand that our identity relies in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And we're also trying to learn some disciplines to help us to grow in that relationship. And also understand, you know, this, we want to understand that our identity is that we are the children of God. We are God's child. If we can truly understand that we are God's child, then we can truly understand, accept this reality, even relate to God being our father, which so many people have a problem with doing. Okay. So what we're learning today is some disciplines that will help us in that relationship, that will help us in the relationship with our father, some disciplines that will help us in the relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay. So the subtitle of today's lesson is called shh. Somebody say, shh. Don't you want to sometimes just shh? Don't you want to? Okay. You know, some people look at this as being disrespectful. When somebody's talking so loud, you want to just take your finger, just put it up to your mouth. Shh.
Can't do
just,
this.
Shh, just be quiet. just bring it down a little bit. You know, there was a skit that used to be on Saturday Night Live years ago. I could see the guys' faces, but I can't remember the names. It was two guys. But gosh. I see his face. His name slips me right now. He's a comedian. He used to be on Saturday Night. He used to always do, simmer down now, simmer down now. You know, I used to say that I used to say that all the time to like teenagers when I used to work with teenagers in our youth group back in Des Moines. They get loud and just talk it down. And they, simmer down now, simmer down now. Come, bring it down, bring it down. And sometimes you just want to say to people, simmer down now. The subtitle of today's lesson. Sometimes God speaks in a whisper. We have to know this. Sometimes God speaks in a whisper. A lot of times people are trying to figure out, how do they hear God's voice? How do they listen to God? Some people feel like they don't never hear God. They don't never hear God's voice. They don't never get God's instruction. They don't never know what God wants them to do and stuff. Maybe you're talking too loud. Maybe you're talking too much and you're not listening. Maybe God is saying, shh, be quiet. Be quiet for just a moment. Let me say something to you. Talking to God is very important in our relationship with him. Okay? I want you to take that as a note. Last week I spent a whole lot of time about talking to God, right? The subtitle was called King Talk. So today I'm expounding on that message, okay? And that is, sometimes God speaks in a whisper. And we have to know that talking to him is very important in our relationship with him, okay? But sometimes when it comes to talking to God, we just need to shut up.
Yo, homeboy, bust this, man. I'm like real mad at these people who be like constantly running off at the lip. You know what I'm saying, man? They be constantly beefing, man, when they should just be chilling.
Word, they need to learn to
shut up.
Now, I'm sure y'all know somebody that y'all just want to say, shut up, you talk too much. Now, imagine if God is saying to you, shut up, you talk too much. That would just break your heart. Oh, my gosh. Ooh. You feel like Fred Sanford. Oh, you know, hold your chest. Oh, you buy this the big one. This the big one. If God ever told you to shut up, you talk too much, boy, that would hit you hard. That your ego would just be ripped to pieces, you know. So just as it is important to talk to God, it is just as important to do what? Listen to him. It's just as important to listen. We need to. Last week, I spent a lot of time on talking to God. You know, it's also important that we listen to him. We need to shut up sometimes. We need to stop talking and we just need to listen. So often we don't hear from God because we're not listening. The book of Psalms 46 and 10, it says, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes we need to be still. We're doing too much. You know, that's the thing that people say today from time to time. You know what? You're doing too much. You're doing too much. And that's what God may be saying to us sometimes. He might be saying to us, you're doing too much. Just shh, be quiet. Shh, listen. Shut up. Be still. And know that I am God. Most of the time when we pray, we're talking so much that we don't take time to listen to what God is saying to us. Mm-hmm. Conversation with God is not only what you have to say, but it's also what he has to say. So when you're praying, when you're having conversations with God, it's just not about what you got to say, but it's also about what he has to say. Remember last week, I talked about how conversation is a good way to do what? To learn about someone. That allows us the opportunity to learn about who God is, about learn about his character, learn about the things that makes him smile, the things that makes him frown, the things that, you know, he's interested in, learn about, you know, his desires for our lives. We have to have that conversation with him. Conversation is a two-way street. It's us talking to him, but it's also him talking to us. The only way we're going to hear what he has to say to us is to be quiet and listen. You may be someone who prays all the time, but you still feel like you really don't know him. Well, maybe it's because you're doing all the talking. Maybe it's because you talk too much. You're doing all the talking and you're not allowing him an opportunity to talk to you. You are not having conversations with him. You are talking to him. That's what's happening. I'm gonna say that one more time. You're not having conversation with him. You are talking to him. Because you are doing all that talking, you are not giving him an opportunity to talk to you. Therefore, you are not allowing yourself to get to know him. Get to know God, people. I'm encouraging you, get to know him, all right? God speaks in a still, small voice. He speaks in a whisper. You know, I've never liked being in those prayer groups or those prayer circles where people take turn praying. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You know, people get together, you know, maybe before a service or maybe for a special service or special event or a meeting or something like that or whatever. And people get together in these prayer services. You know, they got these prayer groups that meet once a week or whatever. They got these hotlines, these phone prayer circles and stuff like that. And I'm not saying I'm against those things. And I'm not saying that they're bad. OK, I'm saying I personally have never liked them. OK, and this is why. OK. I feel like in those prayer circles, they pray loud, they pray too loud, and they pray too long, okay? I feel like, this is just me, I feel like they're talking too long and they're talking too loud. And at the end of it, at the end of it, this is how I feel when it's all over. I feel like, man, we done did all of that talking, loud, long, and we never gave an opportunity for God's response. That's how I feel. I feel like we done just shoved all this food, all this request. We done just threw all of our problems at God. And then as soon as we threw all of our problems at God, then we just walked away. Mm-hmm. It's like, golly, we didn't even give God an opportunity to say what he had to say. You know, we get together before. You know, groups get together before, say, service on a Sunday morning, you know, and they pray and they pray and they pray and they pray the house down. Lord, come in and touch those people who are coming in that don't know you so they'll get to know you. Father, come in and touch those who are dealing with this and dealing with that. You know, people come in and they pray and they pray and they pray. And they always ask, people are asking for healing. They're asking for guidance. They're asking for deliverance. They're asking for his presence. You know, they ask, you name it, they're asking for it. And they all are asking for this thing, you know, and no one stops to say, okay, God, what do you want? what you want us to do now? This is what we want you to do, God, but what do you want us to do? That's how I feel, you know? How do they know what the answer is if they aren't allowing for him the opportunity to give them the answer? If they're not allowing him the opportunity to talk back? And again, I'm not saying that those are bad things. I'm not saying those are bad groups or, you know, bad circles. I'm not saying that, okay? I'm just telling you how I feel and why I have never been a big fan of them, okay? You know, I remember, remember this. He speaks in a still small voice, okay? Because God speaks in a still small voice, people don't hear him. People are not listening or waiting for a response from him. I remember seeing my grandmother praying all the time. And I this was a common thing. You know, sometimes I would walk in her bedroom and she rarely closed her bedroom door. I think the only time her bedroom door was closed is when she was changing clothes. Other than that, her bedroom door stayed open. And I remember times I would walk into my grandmother's bedroom and she would be on her knees on the side of her bed praying. And that was a common thing. You know, sometimes in the morning time, I would walk in her bedroom. She's in there praying. And I know, back out, you know, leave her alone. Don't disturb her. You know, at nighttime, you know, before she go to bed, I would go in and she'd be on her knees, you know, on the side of her bed praying, you know, and I would back out of there. Sometimes in the middle of the day, you know, she would be in there praying, you know, or she would be in the kitchen, you know, cooking or washing dishes or doing something. And while she's cooking or something, you know, you can hear her softly, like with a whisper, praying. And during those times when we recognize it, when we realize, oh, she's praying, we know, leave her alone. Don't mess with her. You know, this is her time with God right now. And that was something that I grew up with. And so for me, prayer has always kind of been that soft, quiet, private time with God, because that's what I saw. And so I'm not saying that those other, you know, prayers, loud yelling, you know, oh, you know, a lot of talking prayers, I'm not saying that they're wrong. Okay. I'm just saying, this is why I feel the way I do, because this is what I watched. Okay. And I do understand that there's scriptures that, you know, that tend to follow my heart. And that is the scriptures that talk about God speaking, you know, in these private places, God speaking in these quiet places, God speaking, you know, in a still small voice, you know. So God, you know, I want to give you one of the best ways. You know, sometimes we struggle with hearing God. Why don't I hear God? Why don't I hear God? Why don't I hear God? Sometimes maybe because we're just talking too much or we're talking too loud. But here, I want to give you one of the best ways. If you feel like you're someone who struggles from time to time in hearing God's voice or getting instructions from him, knowing what he wants you to do, I'm going to give you one of the best ways. And we can give you numbers of ways, okay? But sometimes when we give, you know, oh, here goes step one, here goes step two, here goes step three, here goes step four, here goes step five, okay? Here goes step six, here goes step seven, here goes step eight. It gets confusing from time to time, you know? So let's simplify this thing, okay? You don't need eight steps to talking or hearing God's voice. Let's give you one that is simple and easy and effective. Okay. One that's simple, easy, and effective. If you want to reach for some more, that's up to you. Okay. All right. And that is this: meditation. Meditation is one of the easiest ways to hear God's voice. I promise you, when I first started really seeking God, it wasn't that I started seeking God first. I actually started meditating first, and because I was at a turning point in my life, and I was trying to figure out, man, what am I going to do with my life? You know, I'm what, 22 years old now, and what do I want my life to look like in the future? You know, what am I going to do? I was at a place where I was like, I'm lost here. I didn't know what my next move or my next step was, so I started meditating. And when I started meditating, something happened. Something happened to me that I did not expect. And that was, I started hearing God's voice. I started hearing, and it's like, oh my gosh, you know, all this stuff, you know, that it's like everything just disappeared. And the only thing that was left there was God. And I didn't know it. I didn't expect it. It just happened. So meditation is one of the easiest ways, one of the best ways to hear God's voice. Here's what meditation is. A lot of times people, meditation gets a bad rap sometimes. You know, I was in a meeting at a workshop in Orange Mountain yesterday morning, and we were talking, you know, discussion in the workshop was about, you know, the pitfalls that a lot of our young people have experienced in the community, you know, and because of those pitfalls of bad impressions that they've experienced in the community, that they grew up with certain things that they did not necessarily ask for, they didn't want, they weren't looking for, but because that's what they grew up with, then that's what they became. And so there was in the conversation, the word ego came up, and the speaker was actually encouraging people to find, you know, what's your ego? And they were kind of looking at this thing in a negative way. And I said, wait, I said, let me say something. I said, ego is not necessarily a bad word. I said, it could be bad or it could be positive. A lot of times in our language, we use words so commonly in certain ways. That's the general or the first impression that people get about that particular word. But it doesn't necessarily have to be negative. There's also a positive side to it. I said, there's a positive and a negative side to ego. Ego is that psychic area in your mind, in your thinking, where you try to organize those things that are perception versus reality. So we all have these things in our lives that we experience, you know, that are perceptions. And then we have, then you have the reality. And then there's this place in our mind where we're trying to organize perception and reality. And then depending on how you organize it in your mind, it could become your ego. So your ego, if the perception is bad or wrong or negative, you know what I'm saying? Then that becomes, you have this negative ego, but you can also have this positive based on reality, a part of your ego. Okay. Here's something here. Meditation is one of those words because of certain experiences or certain groups of people that have adapted it or sometimes at one point have made it popular, you know, and in the religious community, it has become sometimes it's looked on as a negative thing. It's like, man, don't meditate because you're going to open yourself up to the spiritual world. And if you open yourself up to the spiritual world, then devils and demons are going to come in. Well, guess what? I am a spirit. The Bible teaches me that I am a spirit. I have a soul and I live in a body. So Jesus tells us, he says, there's going to come a day. Those that worship him should worship him in what? In spirit and in truth. The Bible tells us that God is a spirit, and the Bible tells us that God created us what? In his own likeness, in his image and his likeness. He is a spirit, so there's a part of us that's a spirit as well. But when we talk about meditation, we say, don't do it. The church said, don't do it, because you're going to open yourself up to the spiritual world. Be careful. That's dangerous. Wait a minute. Throughout the Bible, it's inviting us to open ourselves up to the spirit. The Holy Spirit, particular number one. Jesus said, don't worry, I won't leave you alone when I leave this world. He said, I have to go back to the Father. He said, but I will leave you a comforter. I'll leave someone who's going to lead you and guide you, protect you, teach you, you know what I'm saying, and to all truths. And he said, that is who? The Holy Spirit. And the Bible teaches us, you know, to be baptized in the Spirit. So there's a part of us that God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit invites us into the spiritual world, into the spiritual realm. And then we sometimes at the church tell us to stay away from it. Meditation. Here's what meditation is. It is thinking deeply and focusing your mind in silence. Thinking deeply and focusing your mind in silence for what? For religious or spiritual purposes. That's what meditation is. Meditation has got a bad rap in so many of the areas because of certain groups of people or certain ways that it's been used and stuff like that. But you have to understand this. Thinking deeply, deeply, and focusing your mind in silence for religious and spiritual purposes. It's also useful for what? Relaxation. All right. A lot of people, they meditate because they can relax. They want to detox. They want to de-stress themselves after a long day of work or whatever, you know, maybe a lot of stuff going on in their lives. And they use meditation as a way to what they say, wasu?
Usa.
Usa? Usa. They want to relax, okay? But here's the primary function of meditation. Thinking deeply and focusing your mind in silence for religious and spiritual purposes. If you want to hear God, think deeply, focusing your mind in silence on that thing or those things that you want to hear from God. That's what you do. That's how you hear. That's one of the easiest ways to hear from God. Okay. It causes us to stop the busyness and the loudness of life so that we can hear God's voice. There's so much stuff going on in the world, so much stuff going on in our lives, and so much things going on. Our society is filled with lots of loud noises. You know, it's filled with a lot of loud people. It's filled with TV, radio, cell phones, music, computers, video games, you name it. Our society, our lives, our culture is filled with a whole bunch of loud noises. And because of all those loud noises, it's so hard to hear God. Sometimes we need to do what? Unplug. Just unplug. My wife has a habit. She always has this habit. And you know, Lord help her. But at nighttime, she used to do this all the time. She would go around and unplug everything in the house.
No, that's not what I did.
Most things.
No.
Okay, what you do?
I would go and check the outlets because there's a time when in our house, one outlet was really, really hot. And I was laying down and I believe the Spirit of God told me to get up and check it. I checked it and the whole wall was hot because that outlet was faulty. So now and then what I do is go around, and I check the outlets of the house.
And she unplugged them too. I wake up in the morning time. Why is this unplugged? Okay. Anyway. So sometimes we have to unplug. Sometimes we need to unplug, get away from anything and everything that distracts us from hearing God. Moses, he did this when he went on Mount Sinai. You guys remember when Moses got the Ten Commandments? He went up on Mount Sinai after they had been, you know, set free out of slavery, out of Egypt. And now Moses have all these thousands and thousands and thousands or hundreds of thousands of folks, however many it was, that he's leading, you know, that he's now become the instant leader of. And so what he would have to do from time to time is he would have to get away. He would have to get away so that he can hear from God, get instructions from God on what to do. Moses would go to Mount Sinai and he would go there by himself so that he can get instructions from God. In the book of Exodus, chapter 20 and verse 1, God says this: God gave the people all these instructions. You remember when Moses got the Ten Commandments, right? Said that God wrote on the side of a mountain and carved in plates, Ten Commandments. And then Moses would use those as laws to help him to rule the children of Israel. Okay, the nation of Israel, the Hebrews. Okay, in that, what Moses did is he went away by himself. He went away I think Aaron went with him, if I remember correctly. I think God told him to bring Aaron with him, and he told him to leave everybody behind, all the priests. He said, make a boundary around the mountain and tell them, do not come beyond that boundary. And it was just Aaron and Moses. I do believe Aaron was with him when he got the Ten Commandments. And when he got those commandments, okay, he got instructions on, he got laws from God on how to rule. In other words, he heard from God. Moses did not go there so that he can talk to God. He went there so that he can hear from God. Okay. Jesus, he also did this when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. In Matthew chapter 26 and 36, it says Jesus went with them to the Olive Garden called Gethsemane. And he said, sit here while I go and pray. He took three of his disciples with him, Matthew, John, and Luke, I believe it was, or Matthew, John, and Peter, one of them in there. Anyway, he took his three favorite disciples he took with him. At a certain point, he told them, stop. I need to go by myself. I'm going to go by myself. I'm going to go pray. This was the night before or just before he was getting ready to be crucified. Okay. And so Jesus has known that his crucifixion time is coming close. Disciples, they don't know about this. They don't really understand this. They're trying to figure out what's going on with Jesus, you know. And so he went away by himself and he prayed. And he went there to hear from God. Okay. If you remember during his prayer, he said to God, God, He said, is there another way? He asked God a question. And then he also said, is there another way? He said, nevertheless, not my will be done, but your will be done. In other words, he was saying, God, I'm just asking a question. Okay, I'm here to hear from you, but I'm just asking a question. Father, okay, not just God, but Father, I'm asking a question. That is, what is it? Okay, we're here for an assignment, okay? But is there another way? If there is another way, please tell me. Tell me. I'm going to listen. If there's not another way, then just give me whatever else I need, okay? Not my will, but your will. He went there to listen and get instructions from God. He did what? Moses and Jesus, they did it. They unplugged. They both unplugged themselves for the purpose of hearing from God. And meditation is a good way, an easy way, a simple way to do what? Unplug. It's one of the best ways to hear from God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. One more video, and then I'm bringing this thing to a closure, all right?
All right, let's get to work then.
Listen for your father's voice.
For a second, I can hear you. That's great. I was barely whispering. Okay. Let's keep working.
Focus, Clark. Focus on my voice. Can you hear me? Good.
This particular movie here, I can't remember the name of it. It's kind of an old movie. I can't remember the name of it, but here in this movie, this young man, he went blind. And as you can see in his early young adult life, he went blind. And so his mother and father, they were intent on helping him through this transition of his life of trying to live without his sight. And we know that many blind people, one of the senses that becomes very, very important to them is the ability to be able to hear. And so this young man and his father and his mother are helping him to really, you know, hone his listening skills. When it comes to our relationship with God, we need to really work on honing our listening skills or our listening ability so that we can hear him. So often we struggle with hearing God. And because we struggle with hearing God, it affects our relationship with him. Remember last week, one of the things that I talked to you all about, I shared with you, is about the lack of communication. And particularly the lack of communication with my mom. It wasn't because of the distance that during a time in our childhood that we lived so far away from each other. You know, it was the lack of communication. When you're not talking to someone on a regular, consistent basis or having conversations with someone on a regular, consistent basis, it's like there becomes a gap or disconnect in your relationship. It is so important that we talk to God constantly, regular conversations with him so that that gap or that disconnect does not happen in our relationship with him. But it's also important that we listen. We have to really hone our listening skills, our listening ability, so that we can hear him. You may be struggling with hearing him. You may be struggling with hearing his voice. I want to encourage you to pay attention to how you generally talk. when, how do you generally talk to other people? How do you talk to your family, your friends, your coworkers, and everybody, your community? How do you talk to them? It may be the reason that you're struggling. It may be the reason that you're struggling in your relationship with God, because you very well could be talking to God the same way and not even realizing it. Meaning that you may not be talking to God loud and yelling all the time, but maybe you're talking too much. Maybe God is saying to you, shh, listen to my still small voice. If you talk too much and you yell all the time, you know, it could be the way, again, that you're talking to God and not even realizing. In your everyday conversations, I encourage you to practice not talking too much and practice not yelling. When you talk to people, listen with what? Listen with intention and attention. I want you to get that. When you talk to people, when you have conversations with people, listen with intention. You are intentional about listening and hearing what they have to say, but you're also at attention, okay? And we all have problems with this from time to time. I know there are times Marguerite's talking to me and I'm not listening with intention or attention. And we have to do better with that. You know, I have to do better with that. If I'm doing that with her from time to time, I very well could be doing the same thing to God. Okay. Allow yourself the opportunity to learn about the person or persons that you're talking with. Excuse me. Notice that I said talking with and not talking to. So often in our conversations, we are talking to people and we're not talking with them. When we're not talking with people, we don't give ourselves the opportunity to learn about them. We don't give ourselves an opportunity to get to know them. If you practice on how you conversate in your everyday talk, it might have an impact on how you conversate with God. The one thing that you don't want to happen is for Him to tune you out.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. If this message was a blessing to you and you would like to support this ministry in a financial way, you can donate electronically by texting to 84321 and enter the dollar amount you'd like to donate in the message area. Or you can mail a check or money order to Crosstown Church of Memphis, P.O. Box 40981, Memphis, Tennessee, 38104. We invite you to visit our website at www.wearecrosstown.com for more information about our church. Join us for our next broadcast next Sunday at 10 a.m. Be blessed and be better.